Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a dark side intro in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into something you can actually perform with one hand using macro controls. The big idea here is simple. Instead of drowning yourself in 20 automation lanes, we're going to build a compact intro rack where a few macros control the whole mood, darkness, motion, width, grit. That means you can shape the intro like an instrument, not just a loop, and that matters a lot in drum and bass, because your intro has to do three jobs at once. It has to set the atmosphere, hint at the drop, and still stay clean enough for a DJ blend. We're aiming for that dark side feeling where the intro starts narrow, distant, and restrained, then slowly becomes more urgent and more dangerous as the macros move. If you do this right, it should feel like the intro is opening its jaw before the drop, not just getting louder. So let's build it. Start with one MIDI track and create an instrument rack with three simple layers. You want a low atmospheric bid, a mid-range texture or reese fragment, and a noise or filtered percussion layer. Keep the source sounds dark and fairly static. Don't choose something melodic and busy. You want tension, not a lead line. For the drone layer, stay around the tonic note if you can. For the mid layer, use a gritty sustained tone or a short loop. For the top layer, use noise, hiss, or some kind of texture that can be heavily filtered without losing its character. Why this works in D&B is because intros need space. If every layer is moving too much, the drop has nowhere to go and the whole thing turns muddy fast. Now clean the layers up. On the drone, add EQ8 and high pass it gently so it doesn't fight the sub area later. On the mid-range layer, remove the unnecessary low end. On the noise layer, cut even more low frequency so it behaves like atmosphere rather than fake bass. Then add auto filter to one or two of the chains so you can create movement later. What to listen for here is balance. The intro should feel hollow and dark, but not empty. If it loses its body completely, you've cut too much. If it already sounds cloudy before the drums arrive, you've left too much low mid information in the wrong places. Next, we map the macros. This is where the whole trick comes alive. Set macro 1 to darkness. Let it control filter cutoff on the drone, the mid texture, and the noise layer. Set macro 2 to motion. That can control auto filter LFO amount or a facer flanger style movement on the mid texture. Set macro 3 to width. Use utility so it only widens the higher layers, not the low anchor. And set macro 4 to grit, controlling saturator drive on the mid texture and maybe a little bit on the noise layer. Keep the ranges sensible. You do not need dramatic movement on every parameter. In fact, that's the mistake a lot of beginners make. Tiny changes often sound more intentional than huge sweeps. A little saturation, a little widening, a little filter movement, that's enough to create a real sense of progression. Now draw a simple 8-bar MIDI clip. Hold one or two notes in the drone layer. Add sparse hits or stabs in the midrange layer if you want a little rhythm, but don't overplay it. Dark side intros usually work because the space is doing the talking. Here's the key part. Automate the macros across the 8 bars with a clear emotional arc. Start the intro darker and more closed off. Bring motion up slowly, so the middle section has some internal movement. Keep width narrow for the first half, then open it slightly in the last 2 bars. Increase grit a little toward the end so the texture starts to feel less stable. What to listen for is this. Does the intro feel like it's getting closer to the speakers, not just louder? Because if only the volume rises, the section feels flat. But if the tone opens up, the movement increases and the stereo image expands at the same time, the listener feels real progression. You can think of it like this. Bars 1 to 4 are restrained. Bars 5 and 6 start to build pressure. Bars 7 and 8 become the pre-drop push. That phrasing gives you a clean, DJ-friendly build instead of a constant fog machine. After that, add a second layer of control on the rack output. Keep it simple. EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and utility. This is your intro master shaping chain. Use EQ8 to keep the low end tidy. Add a small amount of saturation to thicken the mids. Use auto filter for a subtle global sweep if needed. Use utility to control width or gain overall. This works well because the macros are shaping the sound from the inside, while the output chain lets you polish the whole intro as one instrument. That separation is powerful in D&B. You can perform the arrangement while still keeping the mix under control. At this point you get to choose the flavor. If you want a cold, mechanical dark side intro, keep the filter movement tighter, make motion subtle, push grit a little more, and keep width conservative. That version feels precise and engineered. If you want a smokier, more haunted roller intro, slow the filter movement down, add a little more motion, keep the grit moderate, and open the width more in the final 2 bars. That version feels foggy, suspended, and ominous. Both are valid. It's really a question of clarity versus atmosphere. Cold and mechanical gives you more aggression. Smokier and haunted gives you more mood. Now, before you get too excited and overfinish it, check the intro against drums and bass. This is crucial. Drop in a kick and snare pattern, even if it's just a placeholder two-step. Then place a bass note or the first bar of the drop bass line underneath it. A dark intro can sound huge by itself and still be wrong in context. Listen closely. If the snare loses edge, reduce some of that 180 to 400 HE range in the intro. If the kick disappears, your intro is probably too wide or too loud in the low mid. If the bass feels masked, narrow the intro a little and clean up the drone layer more. That's one of the biggest lessons here. Don't mix the intro in isolation. Mix it like it has to survive the drop, because it does. Another good move is to automate with curbs, not just straight ramps. A line that rises evenly from start to finish can feel mechanical in a boring way. Instead, hold the first couple of bars almost still. Move more aggressively through the middle. Ease into the final bars. Then do something tiny right before the drop, like a brief filter dip or a half-beat pocket of space. What to listen for? There is tension. A small pullback right before the drop can make the impact feel much bigger. That little moment of restraint tells the ear something is about to happen. In drum and bass, that matters a lot because the drop often lands on a very clear grid relationship with the snare. If the macro movement is working, print the intro to audio. Freeze it, flatten it, or resample it. This gives you freedom to chop, reverse, mute, and place tiny edits without constantly revisiting the rack. You can add a reverse texture into the drop, cut a half-bar gap before the snare, or mute the low layer for one beat to create a pocket. And honestly, that's where a lot of the magic lies. In dark DNB, tiny arrangement details often hit harder than stacking more layers. So if the rack is already doing the job, stop adding stuff just to add stuff. Keep it controlled. A strong intro usually follows a very clear phrase shape. The first four bars establish the mood. The next four bars bring in more motion and grit. The final bar or final beat clears space for the drop. That clean pocket before impact can make the first snare or bass hit feel huge. And if you're building a 16-bar intro, you can stretch that same idea out. Maybe the first 8 bars stay almost stack, then the second 8 bars get more unstable and threatening. That works really well for DJ-friendly intros and heavier, more patient dark side arrangements. A couple of important checks before you call it done. First, mono check. If the intro collapses into a messy cloud, the width is too much or the low end is too spread out. Second, snare check. If the snare loses edge, the intro is crowding the low mids. Third, drop contrast check. Mute the intro and ask yourself if the drop suddenly feels much bigger. If not, the intro is too similar to the drop. That contrast is the goal. The intro should feel like controlled shadow. The drop should feel like the door opens and everything hits. If you want to push this further, there are a few smart variations. You can make a cold decorrupted version, where the intro starts clean and then degrades with grit and resonance. You can make a fake-out version, where the width and brightness dip right before the drop. You can even make a version, where one macro pushes several parameters together for a more dramatic escalation, as long as the ranges stay small. But for now, keep the lesson simple. Build a small rack, give each macro one clear job. Shape the arc across 8 or 16 bars, and always test it against kick, snare, and bass early. That's how you get a dark side intro that feels intentional instead of messy. Quick recap. Build 3 dark layers. Clean the low end. Map darkness, motion, width, and grit to the right places. Automate a clear build across the phrase. Check the intro against the drums and bass. Then print it and make a few audio edits if it's already working. The goal is not just to make something dark. The goal is to make something that breathes, tightens, and opens up right before impact. Now I want you to take the 16-bar practice challenge and do it twice. Make one version colder and one version dirtier. Same rack, same macro layout, different emotional result. That's the real test. If you can hear the difference just from the macro moves, you've got the technique. Go build it, keep it clean, and let the intro do the talking.